Welcome, welcome, welcome. I would like to welcome you to episode 418 of the Unpopular Podcast. This is the man, the myth, the legend, Jalen Hunter. Here at the Unpopular Podcast, I'm not really asking you to agree with me, I'm asking you to hear me out. Women's sports has been on the rise for years now. If you are somebody that wants to go against that premise, if you're someone that doesn't believe that's the case, if you're someone that has a take and just wants to stay in that take, that's okay. But you are wrong. You know, the theme of this episode is going to be acknowledging when you're wrong and getting off of that wrong take. When you see growth somewhere, it's almost a disservice to you, a disservice to yourself, a disservice to whatever you're talking about, to not acknowledge where growth is happening. The WNBA draft happened, the other day, and I don't think I've ever seen buzz like that surrounding the WNBA. Now, yes, I tune into the WNBA from time to time. I watch a lot of games, let me say that. But obviously, there is a different level of excitement for me when I watch the WNBA compared to watching the NBA. And that's no offense to the WNBA. That's just my preference. But I have been on this podcast for a couple years now, explaining and expressing how women's sports has grown, and it's grown in popularity, it's grown in skill, it's grown in visibility, and there's no way that you can look at what we saw from the WNBA draft and not think that we are in a different space when talking about women's sports. You ever watch something and you know what the ending is going to be, but you're still intrigued, you're still enthralled in whatever you're sitting in, whatever you're watching? That was the WNBA draft. Going into it, we knew who was going to be number one. If there was anybody that thought that Caitlin Clark was going to be there at number two, you obviously haven't been paying attention to sports in general. The worst kept secret in the WNBA draft was Caitlin Clark was going number one. You didn't have no tampering, no nothing. From what we saw in college basketball and what we saw with Caitlin Clark, you know what's funny? We knew Caitlin Clark was going number one when she announced that she was going into the draft, and the Indiana Fever, who had the number one overall pick, I think their ticket sales went up astronomically. And on top of that, I think they sold out majority, if not all, of the season. When she announced that she was going to the draft in the middle of the season. So the best kept secret was Caitlin Clark was going to not only be drafted, but be drafted number one. Not only did that not stop people, because I think this was the first year that the WNBA draft allowed fans in, kind of like how the NBA draft does, the NFL draft. Obviously, it wasn't as big and grandioso as those, but this, I think, was the first year they allowed fans in. And they sold out, I think, in an hour. And when Caitlin Clark was drafted number one, shocker, I think her jersey on FanDuel was sold out within a couple minutes. Again, popularity is growing. You know, I was looking Oh, I'm sorry. It was Fanatics. It was not FanDuel. Fanatics. I was looking at this draft. While no, I don't think that... I don't think that any of these players outside of maybe Caitlin Clark when we look towards the end of her career, but I don't think any of these players are going to be on the same level as a Candace Parker, as a Diana Taurasi, as a Maya Moore, as a Elena Deladon, as a Tina Charles. I don't think they're going to be on that level, but I do think that this was the most important draft that the WNBA has ever seen and has ever had. Maybe not just because of the players, but because of what was at stake. You see, we talk about championship windows, right? And we say that championship windows are not always open. Like, they close when they close. Popularity is like that too. You want a perfect example? Look at the music business. Remember the song "You're a Jerk"? Remember "Party Like a Rock Star"? They were big in the moments when they were big. But when's the last time you turned on "You're a Jerk"? You know, no offense to them, but popularity doesn't always last as long as you think. You know, the Drakes, the Kendrick Lamars, the J. Coles, they're very rare. Having that level of popularity, that level of greatness for that long is rare. When popularity is at an all-time high, you need to strike when the iron is hot. That's kind of where the saying comes from. Because the iron is not always hot, you need to strike when it's hot. The reason why I said that this is the most important draft I think the WNBA has ever had, not only is this the most eyes I think the draft has ever had, thanks to the incredible women that are in the draft, especially Caitlin Clark, but this is probably the first time in a while that the WNBA is getting a fresh pair of eyes, fresh pair of new fans. And you want to put on the best show possible. Not saying that the draft has to be the best show, but you have to put yourself in the best light possible. Because again, I don't think you look maybe 4 or 5 years from now. Caitlin Clark could be killing in the WNBA, but the fandom, the popularity is never going to be as big as it is right now. Unless you make the right steps now. I think, and on top of that, it's not just Caitlin Clark. I was watching the draft, and it was shot. Now, I'm a person, again, that watches a lot of basketball. I watch a lot of women's college basketball. Watch a lot of WNBA. I watch a lot of NBA, a lot of men's college basketball. I was shocked at myself for how many women I knew in this draft and how many women that other people on social media knew in this draft. From Cameron Brink, from Camila Cardoza, from Rakia Jackson, from Aaliyah Edwards, who obviously my team, the Washington Mystics, drafted. Angel Reese. Elisa Pilley. And on top of that, you even go to the other rounds. You have De'Asia Fair. You have Kate Martin, you have Jessica Carter, Liz Kitley from Virginia Tech. I don't think there will ever be as many eyes on the WNBA as there is right now. And I don't mean that the WNBA is going to go back to a time where nobody cared. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, because there are so many eyes on the WNBA, this is the time that you need to get everything right. And it seems like presentation-wise, they're doing everything right. The draft was entertaining to watch. Shouts out to the team. Shouts out to Holly Rose. Shouts out to Andrea Carter, Rebecca Lobo, Ryan Russello. Like, shouts out to all of them. the WNBA is at a very rare spot in their lineage. And that is, their popularity is at an all-time high. And that's even with, or even going against when they were at their heyday with, you know, the Shocks and Cheryl Swoops and everything. So again, I don't think that there is a all-time player in this draft outside of Caitlin Clark's potential. But I do think that this is one of the best drafts we've ever seen. I mean, again, look at the decorated. Outside of Caitlin Clark and everything she's done for the college game, Cameron Brink is one of the greatest college, or most accomplished, let's say, college players of all time. You have, Angel Reese won a national championship. In fact, brought LSU their first national championship. So what I'm saying is, congratulations to everyone that got drafted. And unfortunately, things that aren't going to change overnight, how the WNBA is, a lot of these players are not going to be able to make the team due to roster constraints, roster size, which sucks. But you will never be able to take away the fact that they did get drafted to the sport that they love and to the sport that they want to be in. So shout out to everyone that got drafted. Not only did you fulfill a lifelong dream, but if you don't make the team, that doesn't mean that you're not good. That doesn't mean that you didn't deserve to be drafted. I think that, as unfortunate as it is, there's just not enough space in the WNBA right now, which sucks. But hopefully that's going to change soon, seeing as though there is expansions happening. But shouts out to everyone that got drafted. Definitely deserved. I mean, do you want to know how much talent was riddled in this draft? De'Aja Fair, who I think was second or third all time in scoring, maybe, she was in the second round. Nakia Malou, I definitely said your last name wrong. I apologize. She's probably one of the best, if not the best, guard defender in this draft. She was second round. Like, Charisma Osborne, who played for UCLA, she was getting buckets. She's third round. Ashley Owuzu, who is from Maryland, shouts out to her. She got drafted third round. Oh, and shouts out to Angel Jackson, one of three players ever to be drafted from HBCU. She went to Jackson State. So, yeah, I will say congratulations and shouts out to the WNBA, because at least from the start of it, they've been doing it right. I understand that there's players that aren't too thrilled about the coverage that Caitlin Clark has been getting. I get it. But I never even turned the thing. But shouts out to them, and shouts out to every single young lady that got drafted. I'm excited to see what they do. In the draft, in the league. So, you know, speaking of league, when you build a team, any team, whether it's a super team, whether it's a NBA team, WNBA team, when you build a team, the most important thing that you need is talent. Let's keep it a bean. Yes, it's important to gel, but talent is the most important thing. And for the longest, or no, for the last few years, people have said that the world has caught up to USA as far as talent in basketball. And I have been one of those people that, while I do acknowledge that the world has gained traction, you know, with Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all three obviously are MVP candidates this year. And you have Joel Embiid, who probably would have won the... I mean, I know he's playing for Team USA, but, you know, he's not, you know. But I've been on my soapbox saying, while I do think that the world has gained traction and has inched closer to Team USA or USA as far as talent in basketball, I don't necessarily think they've caught up. And what I mean by that is, when we bring our best, when the best of Team Canada, the best of Team Serbia, the best of Team France goes up against the best of Team USA, I don't think it's necessarily close. And seeing as the last few years when Team USA, whether that's FIBA, whether that's the Olympics, has not brought their best, they've brought their B team, their C team. I think that the world has caught up to the B team and C team. I don't think the world is necessarily close to the A team. And I think this is one of the most important Team USAs because the last few years they have been more than lackluster with some of the rosters that they constructed. And it has got people to think that, oh, Team USA, United States basketball is not the dominant power that it used to be. And I think Team USA wants to make an example, say, no, hold up. That's not true. We're going to establish our dominance, which is why you're seeing a lot of these people that have come out and say, hey, they're going to play. Well, it's been reported that the roster for Team USA has pretty much been finalized outside of one roster spot. You have LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Tyrese Halliburton. Now, I don't know if you guys remember the episode I had when I talked about this team. Most of the people that I thought, the locks, I said, most of them are locks on this team. The people that are in question and the people that are causing a lot of stir is Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo. People understand Tyrese Maxey, seeing as though I think he still leads the league in assists. People understand Anthony Edwards. He's probably the best young player in the league that is of American descent. But everyone else is under, I mean, you understand LeBron, you understand Steph, Kevin Durant, Embiid, Booker, Davis. We get it. The people, now again, there are still, we're able to bring 12 people, and there's still one spot still available. And people are questioning. Okay, so let me say this. The reason why I started this segment as far as team building is because people are wondering. There's a bunch of names that still are not, you know, aren't on this roster, like a Tyrese Maxey, like a Drew Holiday. I mean, not Drew Holiday, like a Damian Lillard, like a Jalen Brunson, like a Trae Young. And it all goes back to team building. Team building is one of the hardest things to do when you have talent like this. I was a little taken aback a little bit when I saw Drew Holiday. Then I remembered the history of Team USA. And when I say history, I mean what they like to do. When you look at the guard position, It's important, especially when you could potentially see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander for Team Canada, when you can see Luka Doncic. It's important to have a big defensive guard on your team. And as much as I like Jalen Brunson, as much as I think Jalen Brunson has had a great year this year, as much as I like Damian Lillard, even though he's kind of had a down year, Drew Holiday is perfect for this team, especially when you have Steph Curry, who's not the tallest, nor is he the best defender. In fact, at the guard position, Drew Holiday is by far the best defensive guard, unless you want to include Anthony Edwards. But even in that, I still would choose Drew Holiday in defense. You see, people are questioning, yo, why is Tyrese Maxey not? Tyrese Maxey has had one of the best years of his career. Why is he not on this team? A lot of people saying, yo, Jalen Brunson, he's had obviously the best year of his career. Why is he not on this team? Well, where would they fit? And that's, again, no offense to them, but where would they fit? Where would Jalen Brunson on a team that already has Steph Curry, who is a dominant ball handler, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, where would they fit? We've already seen that Jalen Brunson is not the best at being the second option, which is no offense to him. That's just how it is. We've already understand that Tyrese Maxey, that neither one of those are really a catch and shoot player. So where would they fit? Again, people want to crap on Drew Holiday, but Drew Holiday is, again, one of the best guard defenders in the league. And people question Bam Adebayo. Well, it's between Bam and who? Jaren Jackson Jr.? Because you need Anthony Davis on. Size can, when you, again, we talk about the guards, when you have Nikola Jokic on the other side, when you have Rudy Gobert, and we know that there's like a, there's more of a pride, there's more of a excitement playing for your team, so they play much better. And size has killed Team USA these last few go-rounds. You need a Bam Adebayo along with the Joel Embiid. People are upset that Joel Embiid chose Team USA over France. Well, I think as much as they don't want to admit it and as much as it sucks to say, Team USA is desperate, bro. The last thing you want to do is let go of the reins. And Joel Embiid is, yes, I think that even if Joel Embiid didn't play, you can still win with a Anthony Davis and a Bam Adebayo and maybe a Jaren Jackson Jr., but that's the best, the three? Two best centers. Three! Because if we talk about Victor Wembanyama, those are the best big men are not on your team. So, I get it. But the person that I wanted to focus on, because again, I understand why people are upset that, you know, Dame isn't on the team, which I get. People are confused as to why Tyrese Maxey's not on the team, but I understand. People understand why, you know, Jalen Brunson's not on this team, but I understand. Now, again, there is still one roster spot open, and injuries are going to play a part in this roster as well. Like, we don't know, is Joel Embiid going to be able to play? I mean, he, you know, with his leg, you don't know. We don't know if Kawhi Leonard, which is why he has not been announced on this team, if he's going to be able to play. Because if Kawhi Leonard is healthy enough, trust and believe, Kawhi Leonard is probably going to play on this team. He is definitely one of the 12 best players in the United States. Now, his knee is obviously an issue, which is why he's not with the Clippers right now. But you know what I'm saying? But the person that I want to focus on is Trae Young. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but when we talk about all these teams, whether that's Team USA, whether that's all NBA team, whether that's the All-Star team. Trae Young continuously finds his name left out. Now, yes, he essentially was an All-Star, but he was an alternate. Like, he wasn't the first choice. He was only an All-Star because Julius Randle and Joel Embiid couldn't play. Again, I don't know if you guys have realized this, but Trae Young always finds himself as the man out. And I want to focus on that for a little bit, because I think, obviously, this is somebody from the outside looking in, but I think I understand why. And with me understanding why, while it may not be the best excuse, I think it's the reason. Again, we talk about team building. This whole segment is about team building. And Trae Young is one of the most talented guards in the league. Now, yes, I wouldn't pick him over Steph. I wouldn't pick him over Jalen Brunson this year. I wouldn't pick him over Tyrese Halliburton. For defensive reasons, I definitely wouldn't pick him over Jrue Holiday or Devin Booker, you know. But there is no... there is no question that Trae Young is one of the best players in the league, especially at the guard position. But there's also no question that Trae Young continuously finds himself as the man out. And I think the reason for that is people don't like the stars, let's say, don't like playing alongside Trae Young. Again, I'm not saying that he did anything wrong. I'm not saying that this is true, but this is what it seems like, because there can't be one player that continuously finds himself as the odd man out and continuously, year after year, continues to put up numbers that warrants him to be up there in that conversation, yet and still he's never, or he continues to find himself outside looking in. You know what I think hurt him the most? I think what killed Trae Young is that triad when the first time he got invited to Team USA. Something happened. I don't know what it was, but something happened in that tryout that soured the NBA execs, NBA front offices on Trae Young, to the point where anytime a team gets announced, Trae Young is not part of it. Or he's an afterthought. He's a quote-unquote alternate. I mean, when we talk about the brass, and when we talk about the talent of the NBA and some of the most talented players, Trae Young continuously puts his name and has his name in that conversation and should have his name in that conversation. Yet and still, when the recognition, when things like Team USA gets announced, his name is a lot of times not even a front thought, not even an afterthought. Let's advance this conversation and let's contemplate who is going to be in that 12th spot. Because again, this is shaping up to be one of the best teams that Team USA has ever brought. By the names, because I mean, LeBron James obviously is older. Steph Curry's over. Kevin Durant's older. Anthony Davis, his body's older, you know. There should be one. Now, again, I think injuries are going to play a huge part in this selection. And I think if everyone was perfectly healthy, which obviously that's not the case, but everyone was perfectly healthy, I think hands down, Kawhi Leonard would be that 12th spot. Because again, when perfectly healthy, there is not 12 players in the NBA, especially on the American side, that you can honestly say is better than Kawhi Leonard. But obviously, injuries do play a part. And I don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to be ready. If he will be ready, then yes, again, it is going to be Kawhi Leonard's thing. I don't even know if Joel Embiid is going to be able to play. So I think because of that, when you look, again, we just talked about it, size is very important for Team USA. They need size, because going up against Nikola Jokic, you're not going to get it done with just one big. So I think that last spot is going to go possibly to a big, maybe Paolo Banchero, even though he's not that big of a player. He did show really good signs last time for Team USA. Maybe Jaren Jackson Jr. What I don't think it is, which is unfortunate for them, I don't think that last spot is going to be a guard. I mean, there is already enough players that can play guard, that can handle the ball. Again, Curry, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, all of Tyrese Halliburton, all of them can play guard. Or not play guard. All of them can handle the ball. All of them can do what they do best. I don't think you need a Jalen Brunson or Devin Booker. I mean, not Devin Booker, I'm sorry. Or a Damian Lillard or a Trae Young. So I think what the position that they need to fill the most, because again, Anthony Davis, he doesn't even like playing center. He said he doesn't like playing center. And Bam Adebayo would be an undersized center. And then again, I think Joel Embiid's up in the air. So I think that last spot more than likely will go to a center, whether that's, again, Jaren Jackson Jr., Paolo Banchero. Who's another center? I don't think Walker Kessler is getting back on this team. I don't know, man. But I think that I said this before, and I'll say it again. I don't think the world has caught up with our A team. I think that the world has gotten closer. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Nikola Jokic, Giannis. That's like, come on now. I look at Giannis and I look at Luka. I look at Shea. And there's no way that you can think that they're not arguably some of the best players, if not the best players in the league. Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, who obviously is going to play for Team USA if he does play, but could very well play for France. But I think that this is the most important as far as stature, as far as the way that the world will view Team USA. I think that this is the most important Olympics that the Team USA has participated in outside of the Dream Team. And Team USA understands that. And if they didn't, and they understand that because of who has committed and who, again, remember, they said this was going to be a tryout. Remember, they came out and they've done this every single year. They said that the roster spots was going to be a tryout. So, tryout or not, they have pretty much 11 spots guaranteed. Where is it? So, the tryout is essentially, you know what it is? Quiet, very quiet secret that a lot of people don't know. Some people do, but a lot of people don't. In college, there is pretty much they're obligated. They have to have tryouts. But 9 times out of 10, the team has already constructed the tryout, maybe for one or two spots. So you have hundreds of kids, hundreds of people trying to play college basketball, trying to be walk-ons. They're really only competing for about two or three spots. That's exactly what this is. There is no way in hell that you can tell me that there is a possibility that Steph Curry, LeBron James, and Kevin Durant were not going to be on this team. Whether you say, yo, it's going to be a tryout, you know, we're going to have a fair trial. Okay, cool. But so you're telling me that someone is going to beat out Steph, Durant, Bron, Anthony Davis, Jason Tatum? No. I don't care who is having a great year. They need to be on this team. So I think it's going to be very interesting because, again, Paul George is still out there. And remember, I thought Paul George was going to be the last person to be selected the first time. But again, I didn't really think Jrue Holiday was going to be selected, even though I understand why he selected. I thought it was going to be, you know, not Bradley Beal. I thought it was going to be Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on this team. We don't know. Injuries is going to play a part, but I just think when you look at how this, or the 11 names that have come out already, I think that a big is going to be that last spot, unless I can just be wrong. Unless, I don't think Joel Embiid is going to play due to obviously injury, and I don't know. We'll see. But I will say that Team USA understands how important this is, and they're taking it extremely seriously, because if they weren't, none of these 11 names would have already been announced. And it's not shocking that these 11 names are by far the best American players, outside of a few, by far the best American players that they have to offer. Like, there's not a realm of possibility in my head that I will look and you want the best players that America has to offer, and I don't see Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant on this team. That's how you know how serious they're taking this. So we'll see. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I wanted to say shouts out and congratulations to Scotty Sheffield, man. Scotty won the Masters. This is his second Masters in 2 years, I think. He won in 2022, and he won 2024. This is also special for him because he won it while his wife was pregnant, in labor, I think. So, shouts out to him, man. While obviously I'm going to give all the praise to Scottie Sheffield, he was the best player on the grass. He was the best player that weekend, and obviously he has his second green jacket to commemorate that. Watching Scottie Sheffield win the Masters and watching how disastrous Tiger Woods' Sunday was showed me everything I needed to know about Tiger. Again, I don't want to take away from anything that Scottie Sheffield has done. I want to, again, congratulate him for being the best player in the Masters and essentially winning it. The second win, his second win in 2 years. You know, people, including myself, because obviously I'm not I don't golf. I don't know what goes into golfing, but I do understand where a lot of people don't understand the physical toll that golfing takes on a person. Especially a person that has been at the mountaintop for a very long time of his career. The saying is, Father Time is undefeated, which is extremely true. Yes, Father Time comes for different people at different times. Like, we're still waiting on Father Time to essentially get LeBron James. Not we are waiting as far as where we want it to happen, but LeBron James is slowing down. And if you don't believe me, the LeBron James that we're watching now, even though still great, is not the LeBron James from Miami, and is not the LeBron James from Cleveland. While he has done things to prevent the essential wall from hitting, there will be a point where he cannot do what he's doing anymore. Same thing with Serena Williams. There's a reason why she retired, because she knew that she could not. I'm not saying she can't play tennis anymore. I think that Tom Brady can still wear an NFL uniform and play quarterback in the NFL position. But I think when you've been that great for that long, when you've been as great as LeBron James has been, when you've been as great as Serena's been, when you've been as great as Tom Brady has been, and you can't be at that level, that's when usually greats like that leave. After watching how bad Tiger Woods looked and how physically incapable he was to completing a weekend at the Masters on a high level, I can confidently say I don't think Tiger Woods has it in him to win another Masters. Because going back to Scottie Sheffield, he was strong the entire weekend. And when I mean strong, he was clearly, and again, this is someone that doesn't know much about the sport of golf. Scottie Sheffield was leaps and bounds the best player. And obviously, he was awarded the Masters jacket. But you saw how good he was. And you saw that he was leaps and bounds better than pretty much the rest of the competition. There wasn't that close of a second. I'm not saying he's the best in the world, but what I'm saying is he established that he is one of the best in the world that weekend. You could see it. I guess what I'm alluding to is you saw what it looks like to be able to compete at a high level for an entire weekend at the Masters. Well, we also saw what it looks like when you're unable to do that, and that's Tiger. Tiger had a strong first day. Now, yes, I also understand that his first day was plagued with delays, weather delays, and having to redo holes due to delays. Well, when you have as many surgeries as Tiger Woods has had and gone through as many off-field incidences that Tiger Woods has had, well, it's catching up to him. Well, not catching. It has caught up to him. The Tiger Woods that we saw, there is no way that you can think that Tiger Woods will ever win a Masters again. Which is unfortunate. Because no one wants to see greats fall from grace. And I don't mean that in a sense of, you know, people hate Tiger Woods now. I mean that he is not good enough to be the red shirt Tiger Woods on Sundays anymore. There's not obviously people were still holding on and clinging to what we've seen. But, seen in the past. But that was a disastrous last day for Tiger Woods. And it told me all I need to know. He's done winning Masters. That doesn't take away from the greatness that, you know, I personally think Tiger Woods was the greatest golfer of all time. I know he may not have the most wins or whatever, but I think Tiger Woods, especially when we talk about impact and how important he was for the sport of golf, especially culturally, how important he was for the sport of golf. I think that Tiger Woods was the greatest, or is the greatest golfer we've ever seen. But in the same breath, this Tiger Woods that we're seeing now, I think we're done. seeing him be competitive for an entire weekend. I just think physically he can't do it anymore. And I think that's okay. I think, again, all the greats are they had their moment. I mean, quiet as it's kept, I don't think, we'll talk about it probably next episode, but I don't think LeBron James is ever going to win a championship again. I don't think Steph Curry is going to win a championship again unless something drastic happens for Golden State. I still think he's great. I just don't see it happening. I don't think Serena Williams will ever win Australian Open or U.S. Open again. That doesn't take away from their reign and doesn't take away from how great they are, but there was a stark difference. And this is the last thing I'll say before I move on. There was a stark difference between how Tiger Woods looked at the end and how essentially the two-time Masters winner Scottie Scheffler looked at the end. And shouts out again to Scottie Scheffler for winning this year's Masters. Much deserved. Lastly, before we go, I talked about what the theme of this episode was going to be, and that is understanding when you were wrong. And I guess owning up to your mistakes, you know. Here's a gem. Here's something that a lot of people don't want to admit and a lot of people do wrong. I'll just put myself into it as well. Podcasting is if you want to do it, you want to do it, you know. I have 2 episodes a week. Majority of these episodes are an hour plus. Actually, almost all of these episodes are an hour plus. It's very rare that I talk for less than an hour. 2 times a week. Meaning that at minimum, there's 8 episodes a week. Or episodes a month, where I'm talking for an hour plus. You know what that means? That means that there is a window, a very large window, for me to be wrong about something. I'm not in here giving straight facts. I'm not in here, you know, shouts out to the people that do this. And I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I'm just saying I don't come in here and break down every single game, break down every single play that happened on an NFL field, on a basketball court. I give my opinions on things that I want to talk about, and that just so happen to be sports. What I'm saying is there is such a wide window for me and a lot of podcasters that do what I do to be wrong about things. And the last thing you want to do, it's okay to be wrong. Because essentially, this is your opinion. This is essentially a space that I've allowed myself to give my opinion. But what I think a lot of people struggle with, and a lot of podcasters struggle with, a lot of media personality, just a lot of people in general struggle with, is the ability to admit when you were wrong. Because again, as much as I talk, there have been a river of wrong takes that I've had. And that's okay. I don't think it dampens what I say or dampens what anyone says to be wrong. But do not die on a wrong hill. And that is what the unpopular topic of the day is going to be. What I wanted to do, I wanted to poke a little bit fun of myself and bring my failures, bring my wrongs to the light. I wanted to end this episode by giving some of my preseason takes that were extremely wrong. And I want, you know, it's okay. With the season being over, the play-in happening, and obviously the playoffs starting in a couple days, it's okay to be wrong. I don't want to talk about, because I'm recording this on a Tuesday, so I don't know what happened in tonight's play-in. Obviously, you have Golden State playing the Kings. You have the Lakers playing the Pelicans. I'll give my predictions. Obviously, they may be right, they may be wrong. I think that the Golden State Warriors are going to beat the Kings, and I think the Lakers are going to beat the Pelicans tomorrow, which is Wednesday when I'm dropping this episode. I think the Bulls are going to beat the Hawks, and I think the Sixers are going to beat the Heat. So, but I wanted to end this episode obviously with highlighting some of my NBA preseason takes that I thought was going to happen that obviously didn't happen. One thing that nobody can accuse me of, and I mean no one can accuse me of, and that is not being faithful to my favorite teams. I will, as much as it pains me, I even call it a mental health issue at times. I will, man, year after year after year, I will ride with my Washington Commanders, my Washington Wizards, my Washington Mystics, my Washington Nationals, my Washington Capitals, my Washington Go-Go. Like, I will ride with my home team. Now, yes, that doesn't stop me from liking other players and other teams, but I have my faithful. And I say all that to say, I had so much hopes for Jordan Poole this season. I know you guys remember how, I guess you can say glowing, I spoke of the Jordan Poole move. Going from the Warriors to the Wizards. And that is where I'm going to start my wrong train. I thought Jordan, yo, man, I said Jordan Poole was going to be an all-star. I said Jordan Poole was going to be amongst the league leaders in points. I thought that Jordan Poole was going to be an all-NBA player. I didn't think, in no way, shape, or form, did I think that the Wizards were going to be good enough to be a playoff team. I didn't think that. I knew that we were tanking. As a team, we're tanking, so it's going to be a bad year. But I thought going from Golden State, where there's so much expectation to win, to going to the Wizards, where there's no expectations to win, and you just have to be yourself. I thought Jordan Poole was going to have a season for the books. And he did just that. Jordan Poole, boy, not only was I wrong about every single take I had about Jordan Poole in this preseason, he hit none of those accomplishments. I mean, the man finished, I think, averaging 17 points a game, which is like 54th in the league. He's nowhere close. He got benched. He got benched on a play-in team. I mean, not a play-in, on a tanking team. And there was multiple, and I mean multiple occasions, where you can say that Jordan Poole is probably the least improved player. In fact, he probably regressed, as unfortunate as it is. Now, I know he did kind of finish strong towards the end of the season, but I had so much hope for Jordan Poole and my Wizards, man. I thought the Wizards were going to be so fun to watch. Again, I did not expect much winning, but I expected some joy to be had watching a Wizards game. You know, now I know how it feels to be like a Detroit Pistons fan. Because, boy, as hard as it was watching Wizards fans, I can imagine how difficult it was. Shouts out to my man's Kofi, man. He has a really good channel, and he's a diehard Detroit Pistons fan. And he talks about how difficult it is to watch Detroit games. Well, I'm right there with you, brother, watching Jordan Poole and Wizards game. So That's probably the bit worst thing I was wrong about. And that is obviously Jordan Poole just having a scorched earth year. I thought it was going to be great, man. I had him winning most improved and leading the league in scoring. I was extremely wrong. Speaking of Jordan Poole and the team that he left, I thought Golden State was going to be a top five seed. I mean, you still have Steph, you still have Klay, you still have Draymond Green. I thought Andrew Wiggins was going to be much better than he was last year, especially seeing though he missed most of the year with a personal issue, and he also missed a lot of this year with a personal issue. Not a lot, but he missed some time this year with a personal issue. Again, I don't know exactly what the personal issue is, so I'm not going to speak on it, but what I will say is I just thought that last year was a bad year. They understood that this was kind of like a last dance type year for them, and they were going to try their darndest to win it all. Or not win it all, but at least play up to their capability. I didn't expect Jonathan Kuminga to be this good. I thought they were going to trade him. So I just, now that Jonathan Kuminga was that good, I thought that Golden State was going to be a top five seed. Boy, they are the 10th. And I don't even know. By the time you listen to this, their season may be over. Oh boy. Hey, you know, age hits you, bro. When age hits you, it hits you. And I've talked about this on several occasions throughout this season, man. Dynasties never end pretty. And I'm not saying that Golden State can't win it this year. I think I would be shocked if they won it this year. But this is what dynasties look like when they end. Quietness is kept. And I just thought that it was going to be another year of holding on. I thought they were going to, especially getting Chris Paul. I thought they were going to flip Chris Paul at the trade deadline and get somebody. Man, I was wrong. Going to the East, I was also wrong about Milwaukee. I think we all were wrong about Milwaukee, but I'm going to own my wrongs. I thought that they were going to run away with the East. Getting Damian Lillard, getting Giannis on the same team, still having, you know, some of your Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. I thought that pairing two players that were on the NBA 75 list, I thought they were going to just, especially with the East being as weak as it is, I thought they were going to run through the East. And while, yes, I think that the third seed, you can look at this team, you can look at this Bucks team and understand that this ain't no. I would be shocked. I'll say that. I would be shocked if they won a championship. Probably the same amount of shock if Golden State won. You can look at this team and just think there's something wrong. A lot of people talk about Damian Lillard's off the court situation that's going on. Hey, whatever it is, there's something missing from Milwaukee. It could be Doc Rivers. I don't know. But on top of that, Giannis is not going to be ready for the start of this series. I'm going to tell you something. You can poo-poo at the Pacers all you want. I think they will lose every game Giannis doesn't play. Unless we get a nuclear Damian Lillard, which we have not seen at all this year. Maybe once. I think he had like a 48-point game. Maybe once. But unless you get a nuclear Dame, which we have not seen damn near at all this year, they will lose every single game Giannis doesn't play. And I know that they say they're going to reevaluate everything, but I talked about it last episode. That injury did not look good for Giannis, especially with it being his dominant leg. Nah. I was wrong about Milwaukee. I think we all were wrong. But I'm going to own up to my wrongs. I was wrong about Milwaukee, and I thought they were going to be much better. I thought they were going to be far and away the best team in the East. even with all the moves that the Celtics had. And that is probably the last wrong that I'm going to talk about because I'm starting to feel insecure about myself and my takes. I thought, remember I talked about how there is a clear ceiling with the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown duo? I've been talking about this for a few years now, but I thought, especially when we saw everything that happened with the contract situation this offseason with Jaylen Brown, I thought that it was this was if there was any time to trade Jaylen Brown and get him up out of here, this was the year to do it. Or this was the season. I knew that they were going to be good getting Jrue Holiday, getting Kristaps Porzingis, but I just thought it wasn't going to work with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, seeing as though they've gotten to, you know, a Western Conference or Eastern Conference Finals. They got to the NBA Finals. They just have not won it. Well, as we sit here today, the Celtics are far and away the best team in the East, and you can make a good argument that they're far and away the best team in basketball. Jaylen Brown, he has, outside of maybe his left hand, he has improved. He was one of the worst post-up guards in the league. Now he's one of the best. Jason Tatum struggled mightily with catch and shoot. Now he's one of the best catch and shoot players in the league. I was wrong. I was extremely wrong about the Celtics as far as Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown pairing. And I was wrong. I was wrong. So there you have it. We're all wrong sometimes, and it's okay. That doesn't devalue my feelings. That doesn't devalue how I feel. That doesn't devalue my product here, and it doesn't devalue you. Obviously, there's things that you thought were going to be okay. There's things that you thought were going to be right that you were just flat out wrong about, and that's cool. But own it and move on. That's all you do. You know, there, Lord willing, there's always going to be another day, which gives you yet another opportunity to be wrong about a bunch of other stuff. Embrace it. It's a good thing. But there you have it. That's been today's episode of the Unpopular Podcast. I truly, truly appreciate you guys. If you want a Unpopular Podcast shirt, hoodie, sweater, long sleeve joggers, the link in the description below. I have multiple different colors, multiple different designs. Get your Unpopular Podcast merch today. Also, please subscribe to the YouTube channel, man. I see these Kentucky fans are killing me for my Mark Pope take, man, but I appreciate all you guys for listening. Please subscribe. It definitely means a lot. If you like the content, if you don't even agree with what I say, but you stay for an hour-long episode, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to subscribe. It definitely, definitely means a lot. Also, I understand that there's some people that only listen on the DSPs. Please subscribe. Please follow wherever you listen, whether that's Apple Podcasts, whether that's Spotify, whether that's SoundCloud. I appreciate your listen. It definitely means a lot. Please tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend if you like what you're listening to subscribe. Also, please just follow the socials. Follow Instagram. Follow TikTok. I post pretty much daily there. That's where, you know, you can get to me the fastest, whether you want to debate something, tell me exactly how you feel, want my opinion on something. Leave it at social media. All the links are in the description below. Keep it respectful, and we can always go back and forth. I don't mind. I actually love it. It shows that you care enough to tell me how you feel. You know, and I care enough to listen. So, and until next time, much love.